How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life.
You're not the one getting in your own way. It's hundreds and thousands of years of oppression. Hey, it's Heather Chauvin, wife, mother of three boys, former social worker, breadwinner, recovering hustler, and stage 4 cancer survivor. I'm not a fan of that term, by the way. Beyond all of these titles and labels, I'm a human being just like you, attempting to navigate it all while feeling good. My goal on this podcast is to show you that you can live an energized, sustainable life both at home and in your work. It doesn't matter if you stay at home full time, if you work from home, you're a CEO, a successful business owner, or trying to find some inspiration. On this show, I attempt to keep it real with stories, interviews, and random thoughts. This is not a business or career podcast, and it's not a parenting podcast. It's both and so much more. You will laugh. You may even cry. And you may even get a little frustrated with the truth you've been hiding from yourself. I believe all human behavior is a language, whether it's through your child's behavior, your health, or a relationship. And when we learn to listen instead of react, we begin to understand what it truly means to feel alive and in control. It's time to put your big girl pants on and find your brave. Let's go. Hey ladies, I am back, and today I'm really excited to share an interview with you with Dr. Valerie Rain. I'm going to get into what Dr. Valerie does in a moment. I met Valerie, or Dr. Valerie, actually at a retreat, and she introduced me to her book, which is called Patriarchy Stress Disorder. And I interviewed her a while back, and I thought, well, why not now? Let's launch her episode. I think for so many people, this time is waking us up to, or waking those up that were not consciously aware of it before, to what is going on in the world, but also what is going on within ourselves. What is holding us back? So many conversations I've been having behind the scenes with women around where they want to be in their lives. And I truly, in my bones of bones, do not believe that we need to just survive. We are here to thrive. But unless we wake up to it, unless we take action, unless we create strategy, unless we are doing the inner work to achieve the outer results, we will never get there. And too often when we're in this state of fear or panic, our primal brain kicks in and we become frozen. We go into the fight, flight, or freeze. And Dr. Valerie talks about that in today's episode. So I'm really excited to share it with you. And I also just wanted to give you a quick heads up that Wednesday is the last day to register for the Mastery Accelerator. So head on over to Heather Chauvin, last name spelled chauvin.com/business. Mastery Accelerator is this Friday. So if you've been on the fence, if you're not sure if it's a good fit for you, you can head on over to that website as well. You can actually fill out the intake form, and myself and my team review it, and we will get back to you with your next best step. We also have additional programs as well, but if you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe I could, you know, is this what I need? Do I need something else? Just simply fill out that form on that page as well. But if you do feel a strong pull that this is it for you, then I highly, highly suggest you register today. When you register, you get immediate access to 4 modules: the Aligned Workshop, Energetic Time Management, How to Have a Transformational Sales Conversation, and the replays from Speak and Inspire, so you can get clear on your message and go serve the world. All right, so Dr. Valerie Raine has discovered patriarchy stress disorder and created the only science-backed system for helping women achieve their inner success, happiness, fulfillment by healing the generational trauma of oppression. What else? Her bestseller book, Patriarchy Stress Disorder, The Invisible Inner Barriers to Women's Happiness and Fulfillment, and her cutting-edge programs have helped thousands of women lift from survival to thrival and master the game of how good can it get. And you all know that I say that all the time. How good can you feel? How good can you feel? In their work and personal lives. Dr. Valerie is a sought-after speaker and trainer. And she is, what is she? She talks to companies committed to setting new standards of excellence in their industry, in diversity, equity, and inclusion, employee satisfaction, their physical, mental health, and creative innovation. You can find her on Instagram at Dr. Valerie Raine, and Raine is spelled R-E-I-N, or her website, drvalerie.com. All right. This is really important. If you were like, dang, this was a good episode, I would love for you to screenshot it, post it on Instagram, and tag me at Heather Chauvin. Do not tag me at Mama's in Control. Tag me at Heather Chauvin and message me. I want to know what was your biggest takeaway. Because if you are actively trying to become a better version of you, if you are actively wanting, you feel that inner calling, you know it's there. You're looking at your personal life, you're looking at your professional life, and you're thinking, not this, something needs to change. Or you're like me and you're on this road and you're like, how good can it get? What's the next level? New level, new devil. Every single time we're doing the personal development work, there is always more trauma to release and let go of. But I'm telling you right now, you can still enjoy your life while you are doing trauma work. So we're going to dive more into what that is and what you can do about it. Let's dive in. All right, Dr. Valerie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Heather.
I'm really excited to dive into this conversation because I feel like I don't even know the capacity to how deep this conversation can go. I feel like women in general, or myself, I'm just going to speak for myself. I was telling you before I hit record that while I'm diving deeper into the book writing process, I'm realizing this isn't about a quick tip or strategy on how to feel, and I'm using quotes, feel in control of your life. And sometimes it's not as easy as, you know, what do you want? Okay, manifest it. So you are the author of, tell us a little bit about the unique coined term that you have put out into the world and how the response has been for patriarchy stress disorder.
Patriarchy Stress Disorder, or PSD for short, the invisible inner barrier to women's happiness and fulfillment, is the title of the book I birthed in December of 2019. And
it's so good, by the way.
Thank you. It has been an amazing unfolding. I think of this book as having been co-birthed with many, many, many women. Women I have talked to, did interviews with for the book, women I worked with, and my own journey, but also women collectively. women I have never talked to before the book came out. It's like they're reaching out to me and they're saying, it's like I could insert my name into every story. And this is a huge reason why the book came through, I believe, is to help women see that whatever we think is wrong with us personally, something's wrong with me, like I can't manifest whatever business or love. I'm holding myself back. I'm lazy. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I can't lose weight. Something's wrong with me. And the service of this message that came through and was birthed as a book and other things now is to show a woman there is nothing wrong with you. And whatever you think is wrong, is labeled as something's wrong with you, actually stems from the trauma that you have inherited. It's collective intergenerational trauma of oppression under patriarchy that's been around for over 10,000 years. It's never been safe for a woman to be who she is. It's never been safe. It's never been possible. It's never been possible for a woman to own her own body, let alone her own life, or be in control, right? This is completely new. This possibility is completely new. We are basically the first generation of women who have this possibility. And it's great that we have it. It's amazing. And what we also need to recognize is that our subconscious is wired for surviving under patriarchy, where these possibilities did not exist. And so our subconscious hasn't caught up to the current day opportunities that we have. And it's still signaling unsafe, 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 unsafe when we reach for what we truly desire.
So this is okay. So then I'm reflecting on my own experience, right? I feel like we swing from pendulum to pendulum with, you know, I don't have a voice. I don't have any rights, to the opposite end of look at me. I'm going to show you. And that's exactly what happened to me. And for whatever reason, when I became a mother and I looked at my son and I thought, I need to become the person that I want you to be. And of course, I'm raising three boys. I'm not raising any girl. My whole house is men, including my dogs. Well, I have one female dog, one out of two, but I'm surrounded by a lot of this energy. And I feel like, so I can get very assertive, in my need. I'm not a passive individual, and that left me to burnout and almost dying because I felt like I had to prove myself to the world and quote unquote do it all. So what does that mean? Like, can you break that down for us? Like, for the woman who's listening going, how does this specifically show up in my life today? Maybe she doesn't even know that that's what's driving her.
Yeah. Thank you for going personal and going deep. Right off the bat, Heather, appreciate it. Let's break it down. How there is nothing wrong with you and what's driving you. This is all our listeners, all our listeners. Nobody here is a quote unquote control freak. Nobody here is like any other damaging label, right? We might have even used against ourselves.
Recovering control freak. Yeah. I hear that a lot.
Yeah. So let's look at this through the lens of survival, which is, of course, our number one priority always. Survival, 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 from the point of view of our biology, how we're wired. And to survive, we had to play by the rules of patriarchy for millennia. And now, as you're saying, the pendulum oftentimes goes in the opposite direction. So the rules are changing. And what I'm seeing, how PSD is manifesting for women, it's oftentimes one of the two ways. It's either holding a woman back from reaching for something that she truly desires, the system goes into that freeze response or flight response. There are three responses of the nervous system, three responses to trauma to keep us safe, to help us survive. It's fight, flight, freeze. And going into freeze means going into inaction, being frozen, just going into distractions, addictive behaviors, or not having clarity about what it is that I want. I just can't bring myself.
I hear that all the time. I don't know what I want.
Yeah. And that's again, nothing's wrong with you. You don't know what you want. That runs deeper. The reason you don't know what you want is because there is trauma around wanting what you want. And that's inherited and possibly experienced as well. There is nothing more dangerous to the patriarchal status quo than a woman who is in touch with what she wants, who knows what she wants, who is in touch with her desire. So, and whatever is dangerous is protected by trauma defenses. And we can get into that a little bit if that's interesting. But let me clarify about the two tracks that PSD manifests. It's either not going after our desires, being in freeze or going into flight, basically running away, not even knowing our desires, or going for them. And then oftentimes the nervous system goes into the fight response. I'm going to show you, because we still need to keep safe. Again, this is not something that we're consciously doing. It's the nervous system that is operating by the commands in our subconscious that are very aware that women like us who are going after our desires have been throughout history punished, burned at the stake, locked up in asylums, excommunicated, exiled, made an example of, not in a good way.
I was actually told in a past life I was beheaded for speaking my truth.
Ooh, chills. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that comes up a lot when we start doing trauma healing work. For some women, it's very much this lifetime, and for women who are open to other lifetime healing, that comes up a lot. So it's not our first rodeo for most women who are leaders and are speaking out now. We've done this before, and it probably didn't end well. So we're keeping ourselves safe. Our nervous systems are keeping us safe. So there's this is one aspect. Another aspect of PSD that explains that drive, that I'm gonna go and do it and get them. And this is something, like, I start my book with sharing my own story of burnout.
Can you share a little bit about that? And just maybe able to clarify what patriarchy is as well. So
yeah.
I feel like a lot of people hear it, but they don't necessarily know what it means.
Exactly. Thank you for that. When I say patriarchy, I do not mean men. And when I say men, I don't mean patriarchy. What I mean by patriarchy is a system of inequality and oppression that has been around for a long time, in which political, social, and even moral powers have belonged to men, and women historically have been oppressed in every conceivable way. So, and what I mean by trauma is any experience that made us feel unsafe physically or emotionally, and created trauma adaptations to keep us safe going forward. That is something that is actually preventing us from living the life that we desire. Is not the trauma itself. It already happened. We survived. But those things that we developed to keep ourselves safe. And working, or overworking, using work as a coping strategy has been one of mine. And so my story that I start the book with starts with having everything I ever wanted. My life was picture perfect. Had 2 graduate degrees in psychology, because I've been hell-bent on discovering what's wrong with me. And I was, I had a full-time private practice in New York. I had a family and home I loved. And one day I was on the phone with a client when I noticed I was smiling with only the right side of my face. And the left side of my face just hung in there, as did my left arm. And I ended up in the ER with symptoms of a stroke, which thankfully turned out to be quote unquote just stress. And that day on the stretcher there in the ER, I was reflecting on why and what's going on. I didn't even know I was stressed.
Interesting.
I was just living my life. I was doing the work I loved. What else could I possibly want? And that was my realization that I had been using work and stress has become my addiction, something that was keeping me safe. And at that point, I didn't yet, the frame of trauma had not clicked in yet, because I didn't think I had any trauma, so I didn't know to look there. Although I was helping my clients heal, but thankfully, I kept on asking that question because I could recognize that my commitment to keeping myself safe through work and stress could only be linked to trauma.
Mm. And, this is so interesting to me because you and I met at a retreat. I told you briefly about my story. So I had stage 4 cancer, and I remember previous to that, I was still doing not even close to similar work that I was doing, but I was focused on the parent-child relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And how, okay, we have to teach our children these skills. We have to do all of this. And then after being diagnosed, I'm like, oh my gosh, Heather, this is the bigger issue. This is not about the parent-child relationship. This is about the woman feeling in control of herself and her life and what she wants and desires. Mm-hmm. And it's always interesting how we can help other people. And again, I see this with so many people, myself included. It's always something you have to manage, right? But I believe the more we give to ourselves, the more we're giving to the world. And too often we're taught that we need to be selfless. Right? We just need to give, but never receive. But it's always interesting when you're the one that's not receiving, and your life is going to say, pay attention to me.
Yeah. Life delivers her curriculum one way or another. It can be a gentle whisper, or it can be a 2x4. And again, I just want to bring it back to, there is nothing wrong with you, right? We're doing our best. We don't know what we don't know. And sometimes it takes more, a louder message, but it's not because something's wrong with us. Right? I just want to also clarify that, because there is so much in the personal development field, like implying that it's somehow our fault that we're getting sick or we're getting a crisis. I just want to put it out there that it is.
If you just meditate, if you just meditate, if you just, drink the right amount of green juice and your yoga practice and you say your affirmations, and then what's wrong with me? Why isn't it working? It's like, well, there's contrast as well. We can feel the yin and the yang. So knowing that, at what point did you label it patriarchy stress disorder? When was it, when you began the process of writing the book, or were you noticing a common theme?
Yeah, this download came in. The breadcrumbs leading to that have been seeing research in epigenetics showing that traumatic experiences are genetically transmitted. And there was this particular study that I actually uncovered when I was writing a book that really illustrates how that happens. And it involves cherry blossoms. Isn't that beautiful? Cherry blossoms and mice. And these mice were exposed to the smell of cherry blossoms. And simultaneously, the researchers zapped their feet with mild electric shocks. And later, these mice were bred. They had kids. And then their kids had kids. And even their grandchildren, when exposed to the smell of cherry blossoms, showed a strong fear and anxiety reaction. So these mice, new generations of mice, have never had the electric shock experience associated with cherry blossoms. But that experience was genetically transmitted, that association. And so that to me really illustrates what PSD is. PSD is women fearing the smell of cherry blossoms. Cherry blossoms is everything that we desire that historically we could not have. And it was a punishable offense to reach for what we desire.
So what, okay, so if I am aware, and I would say, I don't even know when my awareness happened, probably maybe after the last 6 years of my awakening, per se. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have multiple awakenings.
Oh, yeah. Never ends.
There's definitely phases, right? So yeah. Phase, okay, I'm committed to this journey. I'm committed to being what I say, welcome to the crazy club, right? When you just want to jump outside of the norm and say, not this, right? I have everything on paper, check, 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 but I don't feel good. I don't feel in alignment. I can't keep doing this. And then you have this awareness, okay, yes, there's a patriarchy. Like I am swimming upstream. Right? Mm-hmm. I am swimming upstream and you're bringing awareness to there's trauma. So when I'm hearing that, I think, oh, great. Now there's something else I need to work on, which is probably very like, there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
But where do people start when they know their desire, they're terrified to act on it because the fear of disappointing others, the fear of judgment, the fear of all of these things. So where do you, like, how does one begin to start unpacking this journey?
It starts with recognizing that there is this trauma that lives in our bodies, in our nervous systems. It's invisible until we start running into these invisible in the walls. And it usually happens once a woman is in touch with her desire, or even the desire to uncover her desire. That's often times where it begins. I oftentimes work with women who reach success and they are usually around midlife. And then they recognize, oh my gosh, like I've worked so hard. I've succeeded in my career and I have a family. And much like myself at that at the time of the ER story, ER episode. And they recognize that they're not happy. And they struggle with guilt about it because, why aren't you happy? You have everything you ever wanted. They don't allow themselves to feel that dissatisfaction. But once that dissatisfaction starts to seep in and they start to acknowledge it, that's a great place to start a journey of really unpacking and reclaiming your authentic self, because that's what the journey is ultimately about. What trauma does, it disconnects us from our authenticity piece by piece. Every traumatic experience, every experience that made you feel unsafe physically or emotionally. Let's say you were doing show and tell in your kindergarten class and kids laughed and you just shrunk a little inside and you wanted to die a little and you wanted to just like crawl out of your skin and disappear. And now you may not even think about that experience ever. You may not even remember that something like that happened. But you know, you hesitate every time you're asked to speak. You have fear of public speaking and you hesitate even to voice what you want when it's just you and your husband.
I just laughed hysterically. I was muted because I was like, oh my gosh, that was a traumatic experience. It wasn't show and tell, but walking out of the bathroom and my skirt was stuck in my underwear. Mm. And I walked around with my ass showing in like grade 2. And people were like, look at your butt, look at your butt. And it's hilarious because I have so much, well, it's not hilarious, but I have so much shame around my butt.
Yeah, shit. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And I never wear skirts.
Just in case.
I'm terrified. I'm terrified.
That's actually so perfect, Heather. That's such a perfect illustration of what a trauma adaptation may look like, right? Mm-hmm. Wearing pants versus skirts. If you don't think about it, you don't look at it, it's just like, that's how it is. But let's say, okay, skirts versus pants maybe like doesn't change your life dramatically one way or another. But there is something that you may be doing, like this is for any of our listeners, that you just don't question. That you've always done things like that. Or like you think of yourself like, oh, I'm just an introvert, right? I'm just this way. I'm just a shy person. But you don't question why. Like, why? And is this actually true? And what are your true desires? So the desire connection is the most disruptive thing. This is what actually begins the journey, I feel. Yes, oftentimes it is precipitated by a crisis. There's oftentimes that awakening. But the function of a crisis oftentimes is also to bring us deeper into our core, into what actually matters to us. And from there, it becomes that thread to follow. Mm. And the journey is to reclaim all these authentic parts. Like, what if that experience never happened? Or if that experience, if I had processed and integrated that experience, because what becomes lodged as a traumatic experience are those things we didn't process at the time because we didn't have capacity. We just didn't have capacity. We were usually very little. Well, we inherited stuff from our parents, and our parents didn't have capacity. And so what it takes to heal is to expand our capacity using mind-body tools. We actually process those things that live in our subconscious, live in our bodies, live in our nervous systems. And every time we do it, we reclaim that part of ourselves that got locked up, that part that loves your butt and loves wearing skirts.
Yeah. Anytime I'm wearing a skirt, I'm going to tag you. I'm going to post it and tag you and be like, look at, I'm overcoming my trauma. I have a skirt on. It's A-okay. I'm ready to love my butt. That's like a hilarious kind of, you know, experience, but it can be the little traumas, and it can definitely be bigger traumas. And I have a question for you, because I believe what we resist will persist and grow bigger. And who said that? Like, that's, I did not make this up, but that's like I'm sure you've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty common. So I wish I could give credit, but I don't know where to give credit. Maybe like Gay Hendricks or something.
It's one of those axioms that kind of like, it's like one of those wisdoms that has probably been around forever.
Exactly. And so we're recording this during COVID, during isolation time. And it's been interesting because a lot of the women that I work with, I mean, they come to me because they want alignment in their life, right? They're like, not this. And a lot of times we have to process the guilt. We have to work through it. We have to get clarity on what it is that you want. And it's not like a one and done, right? You've got to pull back the layers of the onion and really dig deep. And there's a lot of courage that needs to happen. And I've heard a lot of my clients say, I'm so grateful that I dove into this process when I did, because I can breathe. I can deeply inhale and exhale. And then I'll get, you know, Instagram messages or emails or just watching Facebook and social, even like the memes. I actually saw an article that was called the double shift, not even like the double shift for women.
Right.
And that how during this time, you know, the capacity for women was so small already, and now it's just diminished, and there's going to be a leftover of burnout.
Oh yeah.
I'm not experiencing that because I feel like, I mean, in some ways and capacity I am, and I don't think you're ever completely, you know, we always have things to work on, but, I'm curious your thought about this and watching people dive into a crisis or survival state during this time, truly believing that they still have to do it all while in isolation, working full time, homeschooling their children, putting a warm meal on the table, and other people around them wanting to support them. You got to get really creative, but thinking outside of that box and making your needs a priority during this time. So just curious your thoughts on this whole isolation thing.
Yeah, it's been making intolerable what we used to tolerate. And for that, I am grateful. Not minimizing the enormous pain that comes with this experience. I actually started teaching the latest round of my program, The Thriving Solution, during the first week of quarantine. and we have a global membership, and women from all over the world quarantined, triggered all the time, because like our loved ones, if you're quarantined with your kids and your partner 24/7, right? There's a lot of triggering going on. If you're quarantined by yourself, there's a lot of triggering going on. So regardless, a lot of stuff in our subconscious is coming up. Mm-hmm. So I've actually been seeing much more rapid transformations now that everything is triggered and everything has become more intolerable than at the time when we could just, okay, I'm not going to work on that. And it's not even conscious. So things became more urgent, and using the tools and working on things has become a lot more rewarding through that. And what you brought up, that double shift, yeah, for sure. That's one of the intolerable things that I'm hoping women are also looking at it. So I was talking about the inner stuff, right? The triggers, etc. But the outer stuff, this is our opportunity as well to consider, what am I tolerating that I'm now at my wit's end with tolerating? And consider that you have options. There are always options. But PTSD, that inherited trauma, conditions us to not even see or entertain these options. One of the things that I heard women in my program share when we started exploring what it is, what those trauma adaptations are, I call them prison guards, in the prison of trauma, what those are, and we started looking at them, and they started saying, oh my gosh, like I'm scared to make money in my business because I'm scared that my husband, like I'm going to out-earn my husband, and it's going to create friction in our marriage. Mind you, this is not something they are thinking consciously. This is something that came up from the subconscious as they started exploring that. But that's an example, a very vivid example of those unconscious prohibitions. That's how PTSD manifests. And then we're struggling with, oh my gosh, like I need to like heal my money blocks or whatever that is. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than our thoughts. It is in our subconscious, and it's usually tied to something intimate and very vulnerable, such as like, I don't want to lose my partner. I don't want to be unlovable. Oh, that unlovable thing or not worthy thing is such deep wounding of any trauma, and PTSD specifically. And a lot of our behaviors are driven by it, such as doing the double shift, because as long as we are helpful and productive, we are accumulating valuable. Conditional worth. Yeah, conditional worth chips in the casino of patriarchy. And at the end of the day, the house always wins, because you can be doing the double and triple shift, but then you snap and you yell at your kids and you're a bad mother, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. And you lost your conditional worth chips. And the opportunity here is in seeing, oh my gosh, if my behaviors and my choices and my life is not aligned with my deep authentic desires, is it possible that my choices are driven by something in my subconscious? Is it possible? Let's get curious.
I think that's really important. Can you repeat that again, just so everyone can hear it? So what did you just say?
If your life is not designed by your desires right now, Is it possible that your choices and behaviors that create your reality right now are driven by something in your subconscious that is rooted in trauma, that's operating under the radar? It's not something you are choosing consciously, but is it something to get curious about?
I love that. So trauma, I don't even know what to call it. I did not know that. I've always been attracted to therapy. Like, I've been in therapy forever. Like, that was my first, I don't want to call it personal development, but I started that as a child. And then as a teen, like, I had no shame in going to therapy. I was in university. Like, I was just chronically doing that. Mm-hmm. And then I, being the impatient person that I am, I was like, okay, enough about my past. I want to go on to the future. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So then I got into coaching because I discovered you can create your life by design, right? So I'm like, I'm done talking about the past. That's not recreating my future. It just depends on the therapist too and what you're really doing. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, okay, I can create, I can look forward. And I always say to people, what do you want? Let's create that. Like, what's that vision? If you don't know what you want, bam, there's a block right there, right? So I'm like, let's move forward. The blocks will come up. You can work through it as you're moving forward rather than just living in the past. So how do you, like, I want to know specifically, okay, I want to make $1 million. I want to write a book. I want to be seen. I want to do all these things. And then Dr. Valerie, as I'm taking action, I can't get out of bed. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, my energy levels drop. I'm losing my passion. My creativity is going down.
Yeah.
And I'm telling myself it's hormones. It's the season. I just need rest. I just need rest. But then I'm giving myself rest. And guess what? My energy is not coming back. So I know it's a block, right? So, and I'm just speaking from my past and current experience. What would you do for somebody who presented that issue to you? Like, how do you actually work through the trauma?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm so glad that you brought up both the coaching and therapy. Everything, every step we take on the personal development, personal growth, healing journey is very helpful. No effort is wasted. It's all taking us to the next step. Something that traditional talk therapy does not do is heal embodied trauma. There are therapists who are specifically trained in mind-body work, right? There are coaches who are specifically trained in trauma resolution. And this is something to look for, to understand that this is a needed component in this healing journey, especially as we're going deeper. At some point, it propels us forward. The level of understanding and awareness is enough, but then we're expanding and we need to go deeper to expand more. So the way I work, I bring together a lot of different modalities of mind, body, energy, trauma, resolution. And the work starts, I have a 5-step system that I describe in the book. That's a distillation of 20 years or so of my own journey, figuring out what's wrong with me. And the first step is recognizing these invisible inner barriers as inherited collective and personal traumas, looking at them as we're doing now. And then taking a look at the prison guards, those trauma adaptations, such as the energy going down. It's a trauma adaptation. It's the body going, no, we're going to unplug her from the energy source, because if we don't, she's going to go for it, and she's going to be visible, and she's going to be a target, and she's going to die, right? She's going to be rich. She's going to be visible. She's going to be outspoken. She's dead. Mm. And what's important, and this is something that some approaches don't see it this way, and there is danger in that. So some approaches go, well, you just need to break through that and just do it anyway. And the danger is that our nervous system still has that trauma load. And as we push forward, it can lead to burnout. It can lead to other ways in which the nervous system tries to cope. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of adrenal fatigue among high achieving women, a lot. And it doesn't have to be this way. And a lot of autoimmune and other conditions, which is basically inflammatory, right? The nervous system is creating that response, like don't, trying to stop us. And an alternative approach that I use is not working against the system, but working with the wisdom of our body, the wisdom of our biology and our subconscious, trying to keep us safe. So instead of trying to get rid of the prison guards, we evolve them to our bodyguards. And the way we do it is by expanding capacity and creating safety in the body, in the system. We retrain the nervous system using mind-body energy tools so that, and we bring our subconscious up to date. We show it exactly what's up, but we cannot do it through just words, right? It's a whole body experience. And then what happens is magic, magical shifts. All of a sudden, just to give you an example, like my own prison guard to bodyguards evolution. Recently, I was working on this particular thing where, again, there is that next level of expansion and showing up. And I was showing my prison guards, doing this whole mind-body energy process, showing them that by trying to keep me safe, by not reaching out to these people I need to reach out to, that's actually dangerous for me right now, because if I don't, well, at the very basic level, right, my business doesn't grow, we don't eat, we die. Mm-hmm. And showing them, if they protect me on this journey, they can actually make sure that I do reach out to these people, because that's the safety now. And I started noticing that I have this urgency now, instead of my body going, no, unplugging me. There is that rush of energy. It's like, I have this urgency, reach out to this person, do this, do that. But it's not like coming from this external drive. It's very much internal. It's very much like my system, my biology wants me to be visible. It wants
interesting
me to make money. It wants me to serve people, which is like, as I'm watching that, I'm still like, oh my gosh, that's actually happening. It's really cool when it becomes easy.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced that in the past as well, because I receive a lot of energy work and subconscious reprogramming. Mm-hmm. And I've tried a lot of different modalities, and sometimes I'll play around with different ones, you know, with professionals, or, you know, and then again, doing like self practice, and just making that a part of my daily habit. And I advocate for that for women, because we can have the strategy. I think strategy is like 10%, right? Like, okay, here's step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, go do that. It's not going to look the same for everybody. There's always the theory and like, okay, but how, right? How do we do it? It's like, this is how you do it, but your shit's going to come up along the way.
Yep.
And as your stuff comes up, that's when you need to work through it, process it, connect with it. And just observe, like, everything doesn't need to be judged. It's just, it's information, right? It's contrast. Mm-hmm. Forever, I've had to deal with fatigue.
Yeah.
And different levels of fatigue. And I will tell you, and maybe we could just dissect this as like a case study or an example for people that are listening. But I would say my drug of choice growing up was sleep. Like, as a teenager, that was my drug of choice from trauma. Mm-hmm. But that's not a socially acceptable drug, right? Like, that is just, oh, she's not motivated. She's lazy.
She's lazy, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs. So growing up, and then when I became a mother, I was like, dang, I can't do that anymore, because I have somebody else to take care of. Mm-hmm. And so I pushed through, push. I pushed through the trauma. I pushed through my coping strategy, and I never I would say, I don't want to say I never began to release the trauma, but it's like I opened the can, but I wasn't like unpacking it until it just exploded in my face, which was tumors in my abdomen. Mm-hmm. And after that, just unpacking it, there is this like, and I'm curious your perspective, this, I don't even want to call it balance because I don't believe in balance, but this like dance between taking action, understanding your resistance and knowing when to push, like a little contraction, like boop, you got to push, knowing when to back off and to trust the universe and yourself and life. And it's like this intuitive dance that you have to do because I notice people also get this fixation and almost addiction to doing the subconscious work and they won't take any action. They're like, I'm unpacking my trauma right now.
Yes, like, well, I know.
You know, let me know when that's done because I'm pretty sure you're never going to be done, right? Yeah. So what do you say about that? Like we can still move forward when we have our trauma, but we have to like play with it.
I laugh. There's so much recognition in what you're sharing. First of all, sleep was also my drug of choice growing up, for sure. And in terms of this dance, I love this word as well. So my I have a life partner who is also the partner in this work. His name is Jeffrey, and when we got together and we started also exploring healing together, we noticed that we have opposing patterns in terms of action and in the work. I would just go into action and then shit would explode in my face and then it would be my opportunity to heal, right? And he would be like in the working all the time, in the working and not taking action.
I love it.
And so we've been exploring this dance now working together, like how to calibrate that. So there's a lot of awareness, definitely from these different journeys. There is this principle in trauma healing work, the principle of titration, is that we introduce little by little the healing material. It will only even come to our awareness as we have capacity to process it. That's why working with a professional and working in the healing community is very beneficial because we kind of expand our capacity. We literally plug into another person's or a community's nervous system to create more capacity for us to process things, which is amazing. And as we increase our capacity, then we can titrate more material to process. And sometimes we just need to step out of that, right? We're just like stepping out of it to integrate and finding that dance between action and everything. It's so intricate, just the way I see it now. It's always perfection. The more awareness you have of what's going on, the more leverage you have to make a compassionate choice. What's called for right now? Some days, what's called for is getting in bed with Netflix and a pint of ice cream. And that's what's called for because you don't have capacity. You don't have capacity and you just need to sleep. Some days you just need to go to sleep. And then you wake up, you have more capacity, and then you can titrate a little bit of, in the work and a little bit of action. So again, nothing's wrong with you. This is for everyone. It's all a beautiful human journey of becoming whole.
I love this.
We're already whole, just reclaiming those illusions of where things begin to feel like they're not a part of who we are, right? Reclaiming those, like dispelling that delusion.
There was, there's a story. I always butcher these things. I don't even do justice to these. The Golden Buddha. Have you ever heard this story?
Yes.
Golden Buddha. And then I'm just going to say, I don't even know. Maybe you could tell it better. The Golden Buddha, and they put like a whole bunch, they were trying to protect it, right? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so they put a whole bunch of mud on top of the Golden Buddha and nobody ever noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, a little chip of the dirt and the mud came off and you could see the gold within, like coming out. And so they started chipping away at it. And I always believe that to be true with us, right? Like we're just chipping away at, you know, finding that goldness within us, but it's always there. The golden Buddha is always there. And what's on top of it is just something to protect it. And that was just to keep it safe. But then, you know, years later, when there's no war, like there's no harm, the Golden Buddha doesn't know that until somebody was like, hey, like you're safe. So that's exactly what we're doing to ourselves. And it is this beautiful dance of, you know, people will say, oh, I'm broken. I'm like, you're not broken. But knowing that your imperfections, your faults, your like, that's what makes you human and quirky and, we're okay just the way that we are. But from what I'm gathering, cause I feel like I could talk to you forever and ever, is from this conversation, it's okay if we don't know what we want. It's okay if things feel heavy. It's okay if, you know, you feel like you're swimming upstream and there's a lot on your back and you can let it go. And by letting it go, you are coming back home to yourself.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I love the Golden Buddha story. And it is what trauma healing is recognizing that that mud on top is trauma defenses, is what enabled us to survive. And then creating that safety of other people around us, the holding sacred container where we can reveal more and more of the gold using those tools, creating that safety on the inside.
Thank you. So Dr. Valerie, where can people find more of you if they want to learn more about your work and dig deeper?
A great place to start is drvalerie.com/book. You can download the first chapter of my book, Patriarchy Stress Disorder. And the link to purchase the whole book on Amazon is also there. Also there, you will find downloads of free resources that come with the book. That includes some practices. And I actually start my clients with the practice of connecting with their desire. So that recording you will find in there as well. And you can start exploring the defenses around the desire and all that juicy stuff. And I have a YouTube channel. There's a lot to dig through in the resources. And if you find yourself called to do healing, you can learn more about the Thriving Solution, my program. You can head on over to Work With Me button. And most importantly than anything, really, I hope that this conversation sparked your curiosity. First of all, gave you a sense that there is nothing wrong with you, and that's scientifically validated. And then sparked your curiosity to get on the journey, however you get on the journey, whenever you get on the journey, whoever supports your journey. Recognizing that you are solid gold.
I love that.
Yeah. And whatever it takes and at whatever pace you move to start uncovering more and more of who you truly are.
I love this. Thank you. What I'm walking away with is there's nothing wrong with you.
Yes.
Love it. Thank you so much. And we'll have all of those links in the show notes. And I just want to say thank you so much, Dr. Valerie, for writing the book, but also doing the work to be a leader for those that are watching you.
Thank you so much, Heather. Thank you for everyone who tuned in and listened. And by the way, I always forget to say it, I also have a podcast. You can also find it in the resources on my website. It's the Dr. Valerie Podcast.
Love it. That would be helpful for people listening.
So you can keep on listening.
Thank you.
The shift has impacted my parenting partially by, you know, I don't lose my lose my shit, which I used to do. Well, I don't do it as much as I used to do, let's say. Bedtime is still a bit of a challenge, but we're getting there. I think it's shifted my parenting in the sense that I see the joy in it. The joy in these fractions of a second that you have your 11-year-old wanting to give you a hug, even though, you know, he sees his friends are around, and capturing those moments just in your heart, and then using those joyful moments to light your whole day.
This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store, so you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful Myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway, and then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.